have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hark, the herald angels sing. Hi, I'm Dr. Lowe, host of The Loretta Petite Show, heard here on Elation Radio. Hey, amidst the jingle bells, decking the halls, the great food, fun, and family, remember that Jesus is still the reason for the season. Hey, friends, on behalf of my family to yours, we wish you love, joy, peace, a safe, and a very Merry Christmas.
Christmas all over the world. We've come with a simple reminder. Don't forget Jesus, the Savior of the world. Don't forget, He is the reason for it all. Let's sing it, friends.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. In our current economy, I am often asked whether there is any value to bank savings accounts because interest earned on bank savings accounts are at an all-time low with rates at less than 1%. Although we are often reminded that our money in the bank is FDIC insured, because of the financial instability of many banks, some have suggested that we may be better served to go back to the days of our grandparents when people stashed money under their mattresses and other places viewed as safe in our home. The benefit of having a savings account is still relevant in setting aside monies for emergencies and smaller savings objectives in a way that helps to prevent you from accidentally spending the money. Savings accounts offer the ease of getting to funds without incurring fees or penalties on short notice. When the account is with the same bank as your checking account, you can easily transfer funds between accounts when necessary. Key considerations when thinking of opening a savings account are, number one, make sure that the bank you are opening your account with is FDIC insured. The federal government provides insurance up to a maximum amount of $250,000 per individual, per institution, or $500,000 for joint account holders. Number two, keep in mind that the interest rates that exist when opening an account may change. So if you're relying on the interest rate to achieve a certain goal, you may want to consider alternative saving options such as short-term CDs. Number three, make sure that there are no monthly maintenance fees or administrative costs associated with the account prior to opening the account. Number four, some banks, particularly online banks, offer promotional rates to open an account, which is only good for first-time account holders for a certain period of time. Additionally, banks often offer higher savings account rates if you deposit a larger amount of money. This is particularly true of brick-and-mortar banks and not as true for online banks. So do your homework up front to ensure that you are maximizing the interest earned. Though you may be tempted to walk away from the bank savings account, keep in mind that this can still be a great way to set aside funds while maintaining the ease of access that most alternative savings tools do not provide. Though tempted to just put it all under a mattress, you risk ease of theft by home intruders and the temptation to spend the funds without realizing the level to which you have spent simply because you didn't provide yourself with the extra safeguards that a savings account can provide. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Bishop-elect Ernest C. Richard, Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and company.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor. Here's your Gospel News for this week. Let's talk about how other countries and cultures celebrate Christmas. In Nigeria, Christmas is a huge celebration for all the citizens, not only those who belong to the Christian faith. A lot of people travel home to their villages, and the families who remain in town come together to celebrate and have fun. From long parties on Christmas Eve to caroling, feasting, and gift-giving, high-spirit celebrations abound all through the season. However, there are certain customs and traditions that are unique and now associated with Nigerians for the holiday. No matter what tribe, religion, or social status Nigerians are known to go all out on shopping for the holidays, and most importantly, they select the most gorgeous of all apparels to wear on the 25th of December, the day marked out to celebrate the Christmas holiday. Some families go all out to make custom designs, identical fabrics, or uniform colors for every single member of the family. In some areas, different families try to outdo each other by wearing elaborate styles when they go visiting on that day. It all adds up to holiday fun and excitement. Don't forget about the Christmas rice. The idea of Christmas rice has become a tradition in Nigeria. You'll hear a friend asking another, "Where's my Christmas rice?" and making such comments as, "I will visit you for my Christmas rice." While the rice can be prepared in a variety of ways, either jollof rice or fried rice, it's customary that rice is available for all guests when they come to visit you on Christmas. In Jamaica, like most countries, Christmas is a very special season. They say it begins when the cool Christmas breeze starts to fill the island in early December. During this time, you'll begin to see cities and towns decorating the streets with beautiful bird lights. Some houses also begin to deck their properties with beautiful decorations. Even taxis in Jamaica are decorated with Christmas lights, which add to the festive feel around the country. Jamaicans also love their Christmas trees. Although most people buy false trees, the plastic ones, others use the locally grown Blue Mountain pine tree for the elegant and warm feel. In Ghana, Christmas is a joyous and memorable time of the year, and Christmas celebrations in Ghana will get you excited and amazed. There are over 66 languages spoken in Ghana, so there's a wide variety of different traditions. An impressive number, right? Well, let's take a look at how Christmas is celebrated in Ghana. When Christmas approaches, some congregations decorate a tree on the church ground to show the honor of the holiday. For the last few days before Christmas, buses, trucks, cars, and boats filled with travelers, bringing them back to their ancestral towns and villages. Christmas carols come from radios, loudspeakers, and televisions all across Ghana during this season. Christmas in Ghana is a worthy holiday coinciding with the end of the cocoa harvest. Ghanaians tend to celebrate Christmas around the 20th of December to the beginning of the new year. The traditional Ghanaian Christmas food includes dishes made from rice, chicken, goat, lamb, fufu, and other traditional Ghana dishes. In London, as soon as the lights go up on Oxford Street in London, the festive season has truly begun. London makes a huge effort to decorate with festive flair, and you always feel a bit more jolly walking in the cold air when the lights are twinkling above. Apart from the lights, there are huge Christmas trees in many public spaces, including a Christmas tree in the square, gifted to Britain by the people of Norway each year. Most people love the festive atmosphere of Somerset House, Bond Street, and especially Covent Gardens, where there's an enormous tree and amazing statue of Santa's favorite reindeer, Rudolph. There's no better place in London to hear traditional English Christmas songs and carols than at St. Paul's Cathedral, where the choir has been singing for over 9 centuries. Well, happy holidays from all of us at the Gospel News. I'm Nina Taylor. Remember to stay connected with me in 2022 by joining me on my website. All my connections are there. That's msninataylor.com. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your Gospel News reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
And you can hear my good friend, Nina Taylor, every Thursday evening, 10 p.m., right here on The Pastor's Corner. And let's not forget the lovely, vivacious, and always gracious First Lady, Minister Sharon Richard, who is also bringing you that great news concerning your finances. Well, hello to you, and also to you. You tuned in to the Christmas edition of The Pastor's Corner. Tonight we're going to conclude some of what we've been talking about, and we're going to save some time for salutations and things of that nature as we go through the course of the day. The number for many of you, you can see in back of me, 564-9842. If you decide you want to be live on the air with us, we bless God for each and every one of you tuning in and taking the time to be with us. You could be a million other places, but you chose to be here today. Well, without further ado, let me find out who's on the panel with us today as we continue yet another Thursday, the next to the last Thursday in the year 2021. I'm sure God has cultivated and molded and shaped and got you in a position where you are now ready to enter 2022 and start the new year off with a bang. So let's find out who's here. Leading me off always, been with me for the last 7 years, a little longer than that, but has been here with me on radio, has been my co-host before we expanded. I want to say hello and welcome to Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr. The Lord bless you, my brother. How are you? Huh? Are you there, Apostle Whitlow?
Huh?
Is that Apostle Whitlow?
Huh?
All right, let's move forward. Apparently he's not here. All right. This next individual I've known well over 40-plus years has become a real good friend, and we've been in some ups and some downs together. Come on and please let's welcome Apostle Vincent L. Smith. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
So good to have you with.
I got a question for that financial lady.
Go ahead.
It's being said over and over again on radio media and Pandora and things that when you take stocks and bonds and IRAs and things and put it in a 408M3, is that correct? Or we need not worry about it?
She's not there at the moment, but I will get that message to her. I can answer that for you. It's not a 40HM3. It is a 401K, and we could talk about that a little bit tonight, and we'll come right back to it.
They said that's going away, too. They're advising everybody to get a 408M3.
Well, if they had a 40HM3, I'm sure they got some kind of tax diversion to it. Let me say hello to my next guest. She's been with us for a short while, and I am so appreciative of her, both her and her sister, so I'll introduce them one at a time. I want you to say hello to Pastor Anna Henderson out of Indianapolis, Indiana. Bless you, my sister. How are you?
Bless, brother. I am so glad to be on. I am so glad to be a part of the podcast tonight. This is the day the Lord has made. I am rejoicing and being glad in it. Happy holidays to all.
Amen, amen. Now let's check down in the Atlanta area to see if Minister Paula Henderson has made her way in tonight, or did Pharaoh just lock her up and work on this given night? Minister Paula, are you with us tonight? Okay, we gave enough time, and we bless God for you. Now, this one is not, she's next to last, but no, by no means least. Don't come for her, because if you do, she ain't sent for you, so don't come for her. Apostle Felicia Flight, are you with us tonight? Okay.
She was
all right
with him.
Nah, well, I know Mom is on Facebook Live. Mom, call Felicia and tell her we said get up on here. We looking for you.
No, she's suffering with a migraine.
Oh, Oh, well, make sure we pray for her when we pray in tonight. Make sure we put her on the on our prayer list. Now, I want to say this, and I know she's not going to be with us tonight, but I'm going to mention her anyway. And we're so grateful for Dr. Kimmy Robinson. I don't know if she has the strength to even address us tonight and say hello. I told her she was excluded from the podcast if she desires to be. I know she was a bit under the weather. So, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, if you can just say hello, that's all we're going to ask out of you for this moment. Can you do that for us? Okay. Well, you know, I gave enough time. Now, there are others that I invited to come and to be with us, and I don't know if they've showed up. All that are on the line, can you please identify yourself that we will know who you are and where you're from and what ministry you represent? I know I invited several people, especially for this discussion. Is there anyone else on the line? And silence gives consent. And I know I think Pastor Cheryl will join us just a little bit later. Well, gentlemen, we're going to move forward. We want to say first and foremost, in case we forget, we want to say good evening to those of you that are on Facebook Live. My good friend Charles Campbell is on Facebook Live. To those of you who are on TikTok, thank you so much for coming in and for joining us. We bless God for each and every one of you. If any of you on TikTok or, for that matter, Facebook Live have a question or a comment, please post it because I can see both of you at this particular time. I was not going to do social media tonight, but I said, well, I got to get back into the habit of doing social media, not just for this show, but for other shows that we have that are up and coming. So we're going to work with that. Now I'm going to ask Apostle Smith if you would please pray us in, and I'm going to read the scripture coming out of Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to start at verse 22. Let me give you a description of our subject matter for tonight. We started a week or two ago a subject that was entitled, Why Do You Have an Electric Fence Around Your Comfort Zone? And we're going to talk about that. All right, we're going to make sure we make mention of that, and I'll read the scripture in a minute. So, Apostle Smith, if you'll be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer, then we will move forward and kind of try to recap a little bit of what we talked about last week. Come on.
Precious Father, Lord, tonight we thank you, we praise you, glorify you, magnify you, because you are God, our Savior, our Lord, our King. Lord, now we thank you tonight that as we go into this podcast, that, Lord God, you will speak in us, speak out of us. Let somebody's life, God, receive direction. Let somebody receive joy. Let somebody today get a breakthrough and a breakout, Lord God, from this discussion. Anoint everyone that is on the panel that we may say that shall be helpful, that shall, God, bring change and even challenge to somebody's life. God, we thank you even now. Bless the host, Bishop-elect Ernest Richard, as he comes every Thursday to bring the word of God to a dying, hungry, starving people, and even those who have good appetite, there's something for everybody. And we thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. From the book of Matthew, we went into chapter 14. I believe we began about verse 22. Verse 22 from the Amplified Classic Version says this: Then he, meaning Jesus, directed the disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent away the crowds. And after he had dismissed the multitudes, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. And it was evening where he was still there alone. Okay? Verse 24, but the boat was by this time out on the sea many furlongs. A furlong is 1/8 of a mile distant from the land, beaten and tossed by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch between 3 a.m. 6 a.m. of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they screamed out with fright. But instantly he spoke to them, saying, take courage, I am. Stop being afraid. And Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, and he came to Jesus. But when he perceived and felt the strong wind, he was frightened, and he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me from death. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and held him, saying, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got back into the boat, the wind ceased. Tonight, we're going to try our best to conclude the topic, why do you have an electric fence around your comfort zone? Last week, we took the time to define what a comfort zone was. We found out that it was a place of familiarity, a place where we're so used to being, a place where no matter what it is we did, we were comfortable with what we were doing because of the fact that we were so used to being in that place and knowing where to go and what to do and how to act and or react to a situation or a circumstance. We made mention of another particular passage of Scripture out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, and we only used verse 1, and it says, to everything there is a time and a season and a purpose for everything under the sun. And we've discovered in that passage of Scripture that no matter what happens in life, everything has a beginning, everything has an end. We also found out that God brought each and every one of us here on the face of this earth with purpose. God brought us to a place where we didn't get here by accident. And it doesn't matter if you were made out in the park somewhere in the back seat of your daddy's caddy in Motel 6 where they left the light on. You were not a mistake by the lake. You were not a mishap. You were not a busted condom or a condom gone wrong. God already knew ahead of time who he was going to birth you through and which two he was going to use to bring you. There were some of you that may have been artificially inseminated. You may not even know who your daddy is, but the truth of the matter is God brought you in all your brilliance and all of your magnificence and all of your talent and your gifting. God brought you to the face of the earth because God had a master plan for your life. And so in the process of that master plan, somewhere in the course of life, you might have gone into what I call the school of hard knocks, to where, and if you notice while you were growing up, you noticed that you had certain gifts and certain talents and certain things that you could do extremely well. Some of you found out that you were great singers. Some of you found out that you had a good gift for gab. You were a great orator. Some of you even found out that you might be able to be a great dancer or whatever the case may be. Whatever your gift may have been, God brought you to this place and to this point. And let me help you out with something. We didn't mention this scripture, but I'm going to mention it now. When you read Paul's epistle to the Romans in chapter 11, verse 29, it says the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable, which simply means that the gift that God gave you can never be taken back. I'm tired of hearing folks talking about if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. No, you are not going to lose it, because if you lose it, that makes God an Indian giver. Now, if you choose not to use it, that is a total different story. It doesn't mean you don't have the gift. It just means that you chose not to put that gift into use. Getting back to where I'm trying to go, as God urges challenges and encourages you by way of word, through dreams, and through ministry of other folk, giving you a word of advice and things of that nature. God is trying to bring you to the forefront to get you to open that box or open the gifting that he has given to you so that you could be the blessing that the body of Christ is looking for. And yet you're too afraid to step out of that which you're comfortable with, that which you've become familiar with. You're just too comfortable to allow God to take you to a place you've never been. You're starting to understand that when God begins to use you, God begins to bring you in uncomfortable places. But God takes you to those uncomfortable places for a reason, because he wants you to trust him with all your heart, not to lean to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledging him that he may direct your path. God wants to order your steps. And so you find yourself just landing and staying and just shifting and drifting in that one spot, not going anywhere, not doing anything. I don't know if many of you, we said last week, there is one place that seems to have a boatload of talent that has never been exposed. We call that the grave. It's a shame that the grave is overloaded with potential that should have been emptied out here on the earth. Even if you didn't do anything with that talent, even if you didn't do anything with that gift, you should have mentored somebody who had the same abilities that you had, to the place and point that they would begin to open up and pour out upon the earth. I'm going to bring this in because somehow I just feel like I'm preaching just a little bit. We want to ask the question tonight, why do you have an electric fence around your comfort zone? Why are you protecting your comfort zone? Why won't you allow God to expose that which he has placed in you and given to you, and allow him to use that which he has loaned you? You are a steward of that gift. You are a steward of that talent. Why won't you let the Lord use what he gave you? Some of you have been in a box for so long that you think that's where you're supposed to be. Let me help you out with something. If God gave you a gift, God gave you a talent, God anointed and appointed you for a specific job, God is expecting you to do it. Do you not recognize that there is a level of disobedience that you might be walking in that could cause you to miss out on the kingdom of Almighty God? Simply because you're refusing to step up to the plate and allow the Holy Spirit to minister through you. Somebody can't get their breakthrough because you're acting like a chicken. Somebody can't break out of whatever habit they may have. Somebody can't be delivered. Somebody can't be set free because you are refusing to come out of that comfort zone. So let me start here and let me start asking questions, and I'm going to open this up to whomsoever will. And please open your mics, everybody, my panelists, open your mics. I need to hear from you tonight. There's somebody despondent, and they don't understand why they feel like they do every time the holidays come around. And yet some of you, God has given the tongue of the learned that you may speak a word unto the weary in that due season. God is calling us to come to a higher place, to come to a more elevated situation. There are people that need us. Here is my question to you. Why do people like to rest, rule, and abide in these comfort zones, in these places where they don't have to get much done? Some of them are literally walking in the spirit of mediocrity because they're settling for what's in front of them instead of what it is that God literally has for them. Somebody talk to me. What goes through the mind of some of these individuals that just want to lay and rest in that comfort zone and are refusing to come out simply because of the fact that fear has gripped them to the place and point that they feel like they don't need to go out there and do anything because they're scared of people laughing at them? I'm trying my best to stop, but it seems like I got so much to say tonight. What? Help me understand. Why is it that people are so comfortable in those comfort zones?
You just answered your own question.
Mm-hmm.
You really Talk just answered your own question without a lot of discussion. And I was going to say it. They call it a comfort zone, but really it's the seat of fear. I don't know why it's called a place of comfort. It's really a place of fear, because they're saying, as long as I sit right here, nobody has to know I have this anointing. I don't have to worry about tripping over myself when I get ready to do it, and it don't come out just like it's supposed to. I don't have to have nobody laughing at me. I don't have to have nobody whispering, talk about, yeah, they don't know what they're doing. And all. So really, we call it a comfort zone, or we call it the seat of comfort, but it's really the place of fear.
Okay.
It's a spiritual, what I want to call it. It's a spiritual fear of elevation and the unknown and another realm and another plateau and another glory, and all that goes with that is fear. And it's not, and it's not reverential fear. It's being afraid to move and let somebody know there's something in me besides a hallelujah.
Amen. Anybody else want to jump on that?
Yes, and I also think it could be a false sense of humility. So maybe in some way one may be thinking that they're keeping themselves humble by keeping themselves hid. And so they don't want to be in the limelight. So they don't want, you know, anyone to think that they're trying to be more than what they are. So they keep themselves hid, not recognizing that, you know, by hiding, they're also hiding the anointing, they're hiding their, like you had said, the ability to help others. And so that false sense of humility causes them to hide themselves, and it causes them also not to be used by God the way God wants to use them. The other thing is being afraid of rejection, you know, the fear of people. And I really believe that when you get delivered from the opinion of people, that's one of your greatest victories that you can overcome, because it takes boldness to do the will of God. It takes boldness to do those things that make you feel uncomfortable, and then sometimes even make you not look like you within the norm of things, because sometimes God will have you to do and go places that makes absolutely no sense in the natural. But because he told you to do it, he's looking for you to be obedient. And sometimes I think people hide out because they don't know what God's going to have them to do, and they don't want to be out looked at as being outside the norm. Because when God really begins to use you, you will do unusual things. You'll say unusual things. When you think about you know, Smith Wigglesworth, how he would lay hands on people, and sometimes he would do, you know, strange things which didn't make sense. You know, but people got healed, delivered. So I think sometimes those could be things that hold people back, because it's basically, I think Prophet Smith said it, afraid of the unknown of what God's going to have you to do. But God hasn't called us to that. He called us to come out of that place so that he can be glorified.
All right. Now, let's look. We didn't look much at the scriptures last week. Anybody else want to add anything to that before we move forward? Nobody? Okay. We're going to look at it. Let's go back to the scriptures for a minute, and let's take this apart, because we'll probably do this week and next week to end the season, and then we'll go into it. Apostle Whitlow, are you here with us on the line tonight? Okay. I know I saw him on Facebook. And there you are. How you doing, sir?
I'm always with you. You just didn't listen to me when I said, huh?
I heard you, but I wasn't sure if that was you or somebody else testing the mic.
You don't know my normal, bro. Something wrong. You don't went away and forgot who I'm is. Nevertheless, getting back to this subject, I just firmly believe that some people have a fence around their comfort zone, an electric fence around their comfort zone, because they still believe there's something there to accomplish. There's something still there for them to learn, for something for them to gain yet and still. And the problem is they're seeking it though they have accomplished it, and so that's why they are stuck in that place.
Okay.
They're seeking to accomplish it's just like, and I mean no harm when I say this, it's just like a dog chasing his tail. I mean, the dog is chasing his tail. The tail is pinned on the dog, and the dog is going to keep running around on something that's already pinned on him, right, until he gets a hold of it and bites it and realize that he's hurting himself. So, in essence, those who are staying in their comfort zone, they're actually hurting themselves because eventually they're going to grow, and they're going to grow with that stagnation.
I would agree with you wholeheartedly right there, sir, and really, when you stop and think about it, we don't see the damage we do to ourselves. I want to go back and look at something by way of scripture. One who was called and put in position authority is a man by the name of Saul. And I'm in the Old Testament and not the Saul of the New Testament who became Paul. But I'm talking about King Saul. When God first chose King Saul, what was the first thing that Saul did? He went and hid among the stuff. He didn't really technically didn't want no part of it. He just kind of didn't want to be bothered, so to speak. And so he went and put himself in a position where he could not, or at least in his mind, could not be seen. Another one that comes to mind is the prophet Jonah, who was sent to Nineveh to evangelize the city of Nineveh. And instead of going to evangelize the city of Nineveh, Jonah went the total opposite of where he needed to go, to the place and point that he began costing those seamen their cargo, their paycheck, if we could put it like that. How many times have God asked us to do something, to go somewhere and to do something, to be something or share a word or something, and in our rebellion and our desire to run away from doing the will of God, we found ourselves, we were not just hurting ourselves, but we were hurting other people. I said it earlier and I'll say it again. There are folk waiting to be delivered. You've got a right now word in your spirit that God wants to release, and he gave that word to you. He delivered it by HPS, that's Holy Ghost parcel, into your spirit. He downloaded it into the hard drive of your spirit, and he was looking for you to put that word out there to minister to somebody, to be a blessing to somebody, to bring somebody out of their bondage, to break habits, to destroy curses, and yet you in your selfishness stay in that same situation and hang out in that same spot. Because it's comfortable to you, because you know what it is, you know what to expect from it. There's something wrong with that picture. I said we were going to go to the scriptures, and so let's do that right here, right now. Before I do, is there anybody else that wants to add anything else to what we're saying here tonight? Anybody?
I heard Apostle Whitlow with a very good statement. I just want to add a half a mic to it.
Go for it.
The fact that he said we hurt ourselves, which is a good point. And then after hurting ourselves, we also hurt the body, because what God has given us is not just for us, even though
That's
we
right.
carry it, it's for the body.
Amen.
So when we sit in the comfort zone, we're hurt, and we're hurting somebody else, too.
Well, you know what? Does anybody believe that the comfort zone could become uncomfortable at some point? Does anybody believe that the comfort zone can become uncomfortable?
I
Ladies?
Believe that.
That's a definite.
I believe that.
That's a definite.
Yeah.
And I like to use this analogy that I discovered throughout the past several years of my life. That if
Come
you
on.
Go to a Home Depot, if you go to a Lowe's, or you go to a Walmart garden center, and you purchase a plant that is inside of a small container, and you continue to water that plant light, that plant is going to grow, but in the process of growing, it's going to begin to be crippled. Why? Because it's still in that little pot that it was purchased in. And for it to really grow truthfully, has to be put into another space. I'm saying that to say that many people, and Lord, thank you, Lord, many people keep receiving a prophetic word. People keep receiving confirmation. They keep hearing the promise of God. Some, they keep putting praise on where they're at. And then they're wondering why they're not seeing the growth, because what they've done is they begin to cripple themselves. And which is interesting, because even in that, that's the thing that fear does. That's the thing that your comfort zone does. It paralyzes your ability to be more, do more, or accomplish more. So when I think about that plant, the roots of it, right, it wants to extend. It wants to stretch out. It wants to expand, but it can't do it because of what it's in. And somebody needs to know that tonight. You can't extend. You can't stretch out. You're stagnant because you're causing yourself to experience paralysis, or you're causing yourself to crunch, and you're crippling yourself and hindering your ability to do more, go further, and accomplish more. And the sad part is everything attached to you now suffers because you choose to stay in such a predicament. I'm going to hold right there.
All right. Somebody else is about to say something. Who was that?
I was about to say something.
All right. And this is who?
Felicia.
Well, hey, are you okay tonight? Are you all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell everybody in the background.
So listen.
Keep it down. Hear you.
Yeah, I already told them that too. So listen, check this out. So Apostle Whitlow touched on something that we talked about earlier on Facebook. So he talked about the tree being a plant being inside this pot, right? So just imagine this tree being in this pot, and you're watering it, you're nurturing it, and it begins to grow. That tree is then hungry for whatever else is to come. And if you don't feed it and it's still in that small pot, it suffers, yes, it's hindered, yes. But when you remove it from that small pot and put it into something bigger, it expands so that everybody can see it. What do I mean by that? When you get out of your comfort zone and you expand, other people can then feed off of what you're releasing. Whew, Lord Jesus, help me. My
beautiful.
God.
Well,
you're
I
either hungry or you're thirsty.
Come on. All right now. You already said
Lord,
it. Many have died before.
Help me, Lord. Help
but listen,
me, Lord.
On the real. On the real, you know, why the fear? What is it with fear that we allow it to paralyze us like we do? And I'm going to share something with you on a personal note. And I'm making this confession because 2022, I'm going to do more than what I used to do. I, at one time, used to sing quite a bit, sang in choirs, sang with recording groups, sang on praise teams, the whole 20 yards. And over the last 4 or 5 years, it's as if I'm not afraid to sing, but have a subconsciousness about singing. I mean, and I've allowed these so-called professionals to make me think that if I can't riff, if I can't scat, if I can't float, if I can't go octaves higher than my natural tone, even go to a falsetto, the whole 20 yards, I've allowed these individuals to make me feel like that I was not adequately prepared or equipped to sing. And I had to discover not that long ago that there's just simply no truth to that at all. God gives us the vocals that we have, the voice that we have, and we have to learn how to use that voice for his service. Yes, preaching, no problem at all. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say I'll preach you happy, but I will leave you with a word that's going to cause you to scratch your head, not in a question mark way, but in a way that will challenge you to make you want to do better and be better. But the singing part I've put to the side because I really felt like at that time that I didn't have what it takes. Now, I'm going to answer my own question again, but I'm going to say this to somebody. Stop letting people put you in a box. because God didn't call, appoint, or anoint you to be put in a box. Some folk want you to be quiet because they're afraid of the fact that if you open your mouth and the anointing pours out from between your cheek and gums, yokes are going to be destroyed, fetters are going to be busted, chains are going to be broken, the anointing is going to fall in that place. And no, you ain't no superstar that requires $25,000 to sing three songs for 20 minutes, but you're just a vessel that's meet for the master's use, and you're in a position where God can bring deliverance to somebody that may have need of it. Now, I'm talking about me, and I'm prophesying to me right now at this present point in time in 2022, God, if you need me, even if it's in a song, you give me the song, and I promise you, I ain't got to be pretty and singing it. All I got to do is sing it, because if he gives it to me to sing, that means it's time for somebody's deliverance. Somebody come on and help me out here. Tell me another area that we need to break out of, because I'm tired of telling preachers that all we're supposed to do is preach. Yeah, preachers can sing. They can preach. They can teach Sunday school. They can pass out a tract. They can clean a toilet. They can sweep the front of the church. We ain't limited. We are limitless. Come on, somebody.
But Rich, I think that I'm going to stay with this scenario they've already brought up about the plant and its growth. I think the problem is a lot of folks don't want to go to the next size basket or the next size holder because of growing pain. Word expansion and stretching has been used. Have you ever got up out of bed in the morning and started stretching, and then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, what was that? People are afraid of growing pain. They're afraid of that stretch, of that expansion, because there's something in it that was not there before, and the only way to get what God has is the stretch, is the expansion, but it's also painful.
All right. Yeah. Let me hold up for a minute. Hold on just a minute, Apostle. Bishop Marvin Tompkins, dial that number, 646-564-9842. We need you on the airways live. And also, Sister Kimmy Kim, if the lines are not unmuted, one of my panelists came off. They just sent me a message that their phone hung up, and they're trying to get back on. So if you'll please do me that favor, I'd greatly appreciate it. Bishop Tompkins, I'm looking for you to come on, sir, and please let me know when you're here. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, Apostle Smith.
No, I'm not saying you will do that window. We'll get ready to say something.
All right. Well, no, I mean, this is what I was sharing with you. In terms of, and it's in the same theory and the same theology as the pot being transplanted to a bigger space and a bigger place. I mean, for myself personally, I've been transplanted to a bigger space and a bigger place, but still I've got the small pot mentality. And I'm not saying me personally. There are hundreds, thousands, and even millions that still got that small pot mentality. And we've got to destroy that small pot mentality because of the fact that in a small pot you have tender roots, not very many, but enough to stabilize and stay steady in the dirt. When you get transplanted, that means it is time for growth. We made mention of the fact of, I believe it was the gospel according to John chapter 12 and verse 24, where we talked about the corn of wheat, where it says, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone, but if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. How many of us are refusing to bring forth fruit because we refuse to die? I know Paul talked most about it in Galatians 2:20, and I'm trying not to go too far because I feel like I'm just going everywhere tonight, but still I'm on the same subject. Apostle Whitlow, you were about to say something, sir, so let me let you in there.
I was thinking while I was listening to you and listening to Apostle Smith and everyone else, here's another thing that keeps people behind that electric fence, because a lot of times there are people who feel inadequate. And so their inadequacies makes them sense that they cannot, because they will fail. There's another thing that stands in people's way. There is their infirmity.
Yes.
Their infirmity coincides with their impotence.
Uh-huh.
So I'm strong as long as I'm in here. But if I'm out here, I'm not going to be strong. Let me see if I can put it this way. I'm saying it in this manner, that as long as I'm in my circuit, as long as I'm in my circle, and as long as I'm the biggest thing there, I'm all that. But if I come out of that circle, if I come out of that circuit, then all of a sudden, I don't have no clout. I don't have a clique. I don't have a posse. I don't have, you know, anybody who gonna look up to me. But can I be honest? You know, we've got to get to a point where we're not worried about if somebody's looking up to me. What I want to know is that when God looks at me, that he can say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm
yes.
pleased. Why? Because when nobody else didn't, he did. When nobody else couldn't, he did. When nobody else wouldn't, he did. When everybody else wasn't thinking about it, he did. What I'm saying is we should get to a point where we're looking for the Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over your few things. You've been faithful in your... Now I want to transfer you into another place. I want to make it where you're walking as a conqueror, not. Listen, watch this. Thank you, Lord. I want to take you from your comfort zone to comforting people, and I want to take you from comforting people to conquering opportunities. Lord, okay, I'm not preaching. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. If we can get to this place where God sees this, then we'll feel good about ourselves. And let's be truthful. Many believers don't feel good about themselves because they realize that they have done nothing. They have accomplished nothing. And so we wonder why we deal with the frozen chosen, because when they come together, they don't know how to give God glory. Why? Because they haven't done anything that warrants giving God glory. I'm going to stop right there.
All right. Add to that, Apostle Flight, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right. Anything you want to say to that?
That was deep. I like that. But see,
no way,
self-assurance. You got to get, no. Self-assurance has got to die. You know, you're trying to prove yourself to people. So if you can't prove yourself to people on the outside, you try to prove to yourself on the inside. But God didn't call us to be inside the four walls. He called us to go out. Everybody ain't going to come to the church, so we got to go out there in the streets and get them. We got to go outside. No, we're not going to be liked. We're not going to be popular. But at least they know that we're authentic. Because like I said before, I said it once, I said it twice, I'm not going to party with you on Friday, drink with you on Saturday, and then Sunday take communion. That ain't going to work. I'm not going to party with you in the club on Friday, drink with you on Saturday, and then take communion on Sunday. Now, we're going to commune 7 days a week. We're going to commune Sunday to Sunday, and sometimes twice on Sunday. So I can be comfortable being on the outside. I don't want to be comfortable on the inside because that's what's familiar. Oh, God help me, Jesus. I'm going to be comfortable on the outside than I am on the inside, because on the outside is where I receive the majority of my attacks. Can't be attacked on the inside, not all the time, but it's on the outside when I step out there. So I'm going to be like the tree. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty, so pull me up out of the pot. Replant me into a bigger and fertile ground and watch what happens.
other trees are going to start forming. Have you ever noticed that when you plant a tree and the seeds fall, the seeds find their way into the ground and then it starts sprouting up? That's what the Word of God does.
All right.
That's exactly what the Word of God does. It sees me when things fall off me onto somebody else, then they can go get about 12 others. Yeah, that's what we do.
Amen. Pastor Henderson, you've been pretty quiet there. What do you got to say?
Amen. This is all so good tonight. I was listening to Apostle Smith when he was talking about the growing pains, and I believe that has a good part to do with the two growing up and being challenged with the stretch pains, you know, and being able to deal with that. Also, I thought about the scripture in Philippians 2 and 5 when it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, is that we also have to change our mind about how we see ourselves and how others see us. The Bible talks about having a renewed mind. And so if we're going to see the transformation in our lives, we have to be able to change our mindset about how we've been doing things and how we see our situations, how we see ourselves, and begin to see ourselves in light of God's word. And I was thinking about what you had said about the situation with the singing. And I was just thinking that one of the things that the enemy uses to keep you stuck or to keep you in a place where you're not moving is that comparison situation. You know, when you begin to compare yourself to others, then you begin to get stuck because no one wants to be different, you know. And when you have others telling you, okay, well, like if you don't hit this high note, if you don't do it this way, then you can't sing. You know, but it's the anointing. It's not the harmony all the time. It's not the high pitch, but it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. And when you were saying that, I just thought about one time I was in a service and I had to come behind the pastor at the church that I was going to at that point, and he just hands me the mic, and so I'm going up next, and the Lord gave me a song, and I just started singing the song, and I just singing it, just kept singing it because that's how he was giving it to me to sing. But the anointing fell in that place. I mean, children, young people, everybody was just crying, and they just started coming to the altar, and it was a great move of God. And, you know, I thought, wow, you know, I didn't even really remember the song that I was singing because the Lord just gave me a song. Now, to somebody else, the song might not sound like I wasn't singing no special song. I wasn't hitting any high pitches. But at that moment, when that mic was transferred to my hands, the anointing got in the song. And I mean, I'm talking about 2 and 3 year olds were crying and falling out, and young people crying, and God was filling people with the Holy Ghost sitting in their seat. I mean, I never even told that story, but I was just thinking that it wasn't so much how I was singing; it was the anointing. And sometimes we gotta be willing to be different, you know, not use people in different ways. So we have to get rid of the comparison act. Well, you know, I wouldn't have did that or that. We gotta be willing to just be who God wants us to be. And at that moment, when you allow God to use you, He can use you however He wants to use you, when He wants to use you. But if you're always comparing yourself, like, well, I don't think I should do this, or maybe I shouldn't sing, or maybe I shouldn't, I could have just came behind and just said a closing remarks or whatever it was I was supposed to say. But at that moment, God gave me the song, and I just did it without even thinking about it because the Holy Ghost took over. We have to be willing to be different, because when you don't, when you're always comparing yourself, you're always going to hold yourself back. And so that was a move to got through with the Holy Ghost and never even, you know, hadn't received the Holy Ghost that night. So I just think we have to get rid of comparing ourselves.
All right.
And let God be God. Let God be God. Let God be God. It hasn't happened again since like that, but it did happen that night.
Hey, listen, and nobody's knocking it because, see, sometimes, like I said, the said-to-be or so-called happy holidays to you on Facebook Live. TikTok, and we want to let you know we're doing a live radio podcast. It's the Pastor's Corner, 646-564-9842. Bishop Marvin Tompkins, have you made your way in here yet? He hasn't made his way in yet? Okay. I'm hoping that he does show up. He is on Facebook Live. I'm praying that he'll switch over and come on live with us. You know, the thing about it is sometimes we have to, like I said earlier, sis, we got to stop letting people dictate to us what it is that we have the ability to do. We have to stop letting people share with us. Because, I mean, people used to laugh at me and ridicule me and make fun of me, literally make fun of me for some of the things that I attempted to do. And it's not that I didn't know how to do what I needed to do. It's just that I wasn't doing it the way they thought.
Right. That's right.
And that is a deterrent to push you back into a place where you're fearful of coming forward because you don't want to be the object or the butt of somebody's joke. But we have to recognize that Paul, even himself, when he spoke to the Corinthian church, said that God takes the foolish things to confound the wise. And we have to be much aware of that fact that in coming out and taking the electric fence from around our comfort zone, we have to be vulnerable. One of the first things we have to be, first of all, we have to, and if I were to go and give three or four steps on how to remove that electric fence, the first thing I would simply say is you have to learn how to take direction. Here it is in verse 22 of chapter 14, and we're just now getting to these verses after the preach. Verse 22 says, then he, meaning Jesus, directed the disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. We all know the story. Jesus had just got finished preaching, and now it was time for him to go do another work. At the same time, I like to believe that Jesus was setting up yet another miracle that these disciples, that these apostles, soon to be apostles, was about to witness. He gave them instructions to get in the boat and go to the other side. How many times has God given you and I instructions to do something in specifics, and somehow we managed to detour and go do something he did not tell us to do? Talk to me, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me.
You know, when God gives instructions, he doesn't always give us all of the details of the instructions.
I'm glad you said that.
I think that bothers us because many times we are people that we want it to be just simple. Okay, God says stand up. All right, so standing up. But while you're standing up, what Apostle Smith said, when you start stretching, you start feeling something like, oh, what's that? And so here you're standing up, and all of a sudden, you know, your legs are uncomfortable because you're standing, and now you're standing, and now your back is hurting. Right, but you're like, okay, but Lord, you didn't tell me that all of this was going to happen when I stood up, and I can hear the Lord. I don't need to tell you that part. I just need you to do the part that I told you.
That's right.
And if we could just simply learn to say two words, yes, Lord. Not ask the question why, not ask the question what meaneth this, not ask the question what should I gain from this, what should I learn from this, or why am I going through this. If we could just learn to say, yes, Lord, and I'm going to hold right there because I felt something in my pinky toe.
You know, Brother Rich, that just brought me back to a conversation I had on yesterday. A dear word partner of mine said that they were watching a program, and the preacher suggested that you ought to be able to write out your future 20 years down the road. And I brought up what Apostle Winslow just brought up. You can have your own personal dream. First of all, trying to teach that you ought to know through the Spirit what's going to happen for you 20 years down the road. I ain't read that yet. Now, if any of you don't have that experience, maybe you can tell us about it. But I'm trying to figure out tomorrow, more or less 20 years down the road. So I think that's another factor to why people stay in the comfort zone so long, because sometimes the instruction from the pulpit is not very clear, and it's not really based upon firm words. Let me put it like that. It's not based upon firm words, because I haven't read anything. I said me now. I haven't read in the Bible yet where anybody in the Bible had a 20-year plan.
Come on now.
And was able to follow it to the D.
All right.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If I'm wrong,
I'm wrong. But I believe the Lord will give you something, but I don't know about a 20-year plan.
Well, Apostle, I love what you just said, because here's what the Bible tells us, right? The Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and don't lean to our own understanding. And then it takes us a step further. It says, in all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct. In other words, so every step you make, wait a minute. New Edition used to say, every little step I take will be together, right? Every little move I make. Okay, so what God is saying, I believe that's why God gave that to them, that New Edition, so they would understand how to get where they got to get. Wait, God, before, is this the step I'm supposed to make? Because the problem is, this is what we want to do, Apostle Smith, is we want to have a photographic memory of what God said and expect that to carry us all. And when you look at the text, the Bible says that when they saw Jesus, like, they thought it was a spirit, they thought it was a ghost, right? And Jesus was like, hey, don't be afraid, it's me. And here Peter, like, well, if that's really you, he says, bid me to come, right? And so Peter, now listening with intent, right, he hears the Lord say, come. Now, how was he able to get to the Lord? Because he couldn't see him, being it was the third watch of the night, being the darkest part of the night. So he couldn't see him, but we don't walk by what we see. Help me, God. No, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So every time I hear the voice of God, causes me to move a little closer. So when the Lord spoke and said, come, I could see Peter. He said, I don't see you, but I'm coming. I know there's nothing underneath the water, but I can hear you. And if you say I can do it, then I believe it can be done. And so now what he's doing is he's listening for instruction. The problem comes when we let the wind take our attention from this. Lord, help me. I'm not preaching. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about.
No,
when we allow the wind to take our attention from the voice of God. See, because that's the thing that gets us in trouble. And that's why people get confused. That's why people begin to sink, because they're listening to all these other voices. Them other voices is like the boisterous wind. What do you think you're doing? Somebody talking. You ain't got no business doing that. Somebody talking.
Come on.
Why
come
did
on.
You get...
Come on.
You don't know
My
what
God.
You're doing. Somebody talking. Know where you're going. Somebody talking. You're not anointed for that. And we allow those. I'm done.
No. Let's go a little further. You haven't been to school. You don't have a doctorate. You don't have a PhD. You're not a doctor of theology. You are not a doctor of theology. You are not a seminary specialist. All these voices in the world are pressing people to the place and point where they're settling for what's in front of them and not where God wants to take them. I'm encouraging somebody tonight to turn off the electricity of that fence, to get up out of that. Lord, if it be you, if the Lord is calling you to sing, if the Lord is calling you to preach, if the Lord is calling you to be in the ministry of health, if the Lord is calling you to give a word of knowledge, you need to hear the voice of Jesus saying, come, bring all your idiosyncrasies, bring all your problems, bring all your worries, just come. Come just as you are. I want to open you up. I want to show you who you that's within you. Come. Come. Come.
But Rick.
Come on. Come.
Did the Bible say it was the third watch of the night?
That's what it said.
Ride this thought with me for a minute. Because according to Hebraic time schedule, really it was 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning. It was 3 to 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Watch this. Because the evening, even with our clock now, we say 12 o'clock p.m. at noontime.
All right.
And then have you ever been in the midst of a storm, and when the storm comes up, it looks like nighttime?
It sure does. Dark as the night.
And then when they saw Jesus come walking on the water in the storm, they didn't know what was happening. It was dark, the wrong time of day. It's a storm, and then somebody walking across the water. I guess we all would have been scared. But here's where I'm going with it. When they saw all this happening, they ran to the comfort zone where Peter said, I'm going to jump the fence.
You don't
hear about nobody else jumping the fence but Peter. The rest of them said, I better find me a place of comfort. I don't know what that is.
There you go.
I'm going to find me a hiding spot. But Peter said, get this. I'm getting out the comfort zone, and I'm jumping the fence. God knows I hope it ain't long, but I'm jumping this thing. So the Bible said he jumped off the ship.
He did exactly that, Apostle.
Huh?
He did exactly that. I'm just agreeing with you, sir.
When he landed, somehow, by the power and his faith, when he landed standing on water.
He actually did. He actually did. Now, listen, I know it's a little past the quarter of the hour. We're going to hold this because we are going to pick this up next week. And I thank God for each and every one of you. I need each of you to take a moment to address the audience in this holiday season, keeping in mind of those who may not be as fortunate as we possibly may be, and those who may have less than what we have, but yet they're listening to this podcast wherever they are, whether it's iHeartRadio, whether it's Spreaker Radio, whether it's Blog Talk Radio, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Facebook Live, whether it's TikTok, whether it's Tumblr, whether it's no matter where they are. Apostle Henderson, I elevated her again. Pastor Henderson, let's start with you.
Amen. To each one that, yes, I am. So, yes, to each one that may be listening tonight, we thank the Lord for you joining us on tonight. Amen. We are approaching the holiday season of this weekend. I just want to say to each one that may be listening to this, recognize that Jesus is the reason for the season, and he is the one who loves you. He is the one who died for you. He is the one who shed his blood for you. And I know someone may be listening to me, but they may have lost loved ones or may be discouraged or disenchanted on tonight. But I just want to encourage you to look up because Jesus is with you. He is the God that is there. He is the greatest gift ever given to us. And his gift was that he would never leave us, that he is Emmanuel, the God that is with us. So even though you may be sad, if that may be your situation, or maybe discouraged, or maybe you don't have all the things you desire to have during this holiday season, just know that Jesus, hallelujah, he's able to supply the need. He's able to comfort the heart. He's able to make a way for you, that he is a God that is with you, and that I want to encourage you to trust him tonight and just know that all things are possible to him that believeth. As the word is going forth on tonight, that when the Lord tells you to come,
hallelujah. He makes the impossible possible. So, hallelujah. Believe the Lord. Trust the Lord. And I want to say enjoy your holiday and recognize that God is with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? That we have the victory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you and have a blessed holiday in Jesus' name.
God bless you. How about your apostle flight?
How can you go behind a word like that? But listen, let's keep in mind that Christmas starts with Christ. There's no Xmas, it's Christmas. And without Christ in a mask of people, you have nothing. So remember, don't go out and spend all of your money on materialistic things. Give to the church because the church will give back to you. When you bless God, he will bless you. Mark my word. Hold me to my word. God is not a man that he should lie. He will never forsake you or leave you. Now that you can take to the bank and get you some money back on that. Have a Merry Christmas.
All right. I think now I know we got to bypass Dr. Kimmy Robinson because I know she's under the weather. And she's up to speak, and we got the mic open for her. I pray that, you know, everything will work out just fine for you, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, as we move forward. How about if we go to you, Apostle Vincent L. Smith?
Feliz Navidad. Mucho gracias. Dear Jesus, I want to thank everybody. Have a Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, and get ready for the new year. I believe that great and mighty things is waiting for you on the other side of this fence that we're about to cross. And great things will come into your life, into your spirit, into your prayer room, and it will make a show before the people of God. All you got to do, go in the room, shut the door, get pregnant with Jesus, and come back out, and he'll make his place and his face known in your life.
Amen. Apostle Whitlow.
Unfortunately, we live in a time where many people would like to say that Jesus was not born in the month of December. And they would try to put his birth somewhere between late September and mid-October.
I am
of this persuasion, and I to be of the same. It doesn't matter what the actual date is. It has been commonly accepted for December the 25th. Having said that, just be grateful that a Savior was born. And so therefore, this Christmas, know that he was born to die so that you can live and have everlasting life. May your Christmas be merry and bright. And please, please, please let your teeth be white. Merry Christmas.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, all these extra folks on this show. Is there anybody that I missed? And I don't want to overlook anybody. If I missed you, please speak up now.
Good evening, everyone.
Okay.
This is... Hello, can you hear me? This is Apostle Westbrook.
And hey, Apostle,
I just want
to,
good evening. I just want to say, as I was listening to everyone, but in particular, all that has been said has been so profound and so heartwarming to me because it has been words of truth, and I praise God for that. But for those who are listening and those who will be listening on the rebroadcast, we need not, as it was discussed, we need not have to compare ourselves to someone else or try to get the approval of man, because the Creator is the only one that you need to prove yourself to. He will be ultimately the only one that will judge you. And one answer I have is that God is calling us to obedience and relationship with Him in this hour in particular. I know that people think of Christmas of gifts and being with family and all that is good. But the most important thing, and I think it's all been said by everyone, that it is Christ. The need to have relationship with Him, so important. But more important than that is that you have relationship with Him through obedience, by obeying His call to take care, amen, not only of yourself, but your brother, because you are your brother's keeper, amen. And particularly amen. In this time of COVID and all that's going on, it's important that we learn to take care of one another and that there be a strong unity in the body of Christ. Our obedience leads us to not only our own personal growth as a body, amen, but it leads us to that transformation, that renewing of the mind, the change that we desire to see. It is made manifest by us coming together collectively, because the word says very clearly, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And so it is a process of going through that transformation. Even you yourself said, except a seed falls to the ground and dies, glory to God, there needs to be a death. And in the death, there is a transformation. There is a growing. The roots are struggling to get to the surface, to bring birth and to birth forth something that is new. And so we need to come together to collectively, one. Two, we need to take care of each other. And three, we need to humble ourselves, because it's not about our titles. It's not about our entitlement. It's not even because we call ourselves Christians, because that name means nothing if we are not exemplifying it by our life, not just by the words we say. And so I would say to each of our listeners that will be listening on the rebroadcast, I compel you, have a relationship with Christ. That is the greatest gift that you could possibly receive and give in this season. God bless you.
We bless God for you. Are you going to be on at 3 o'clock Saturday for Shabbat Saturday?
No, sir. I'm going to be coming on the following week.
All right. Well, we got to make sure we include that in our announcements on a weekly basis. It's important that you know all the messages that come up. We'll get it up at the appropriate time. Is there anyone else that I may have overlooked, or may have missed, or may not have made mention of, that wants to share something before we go off the airwaves? Anyone else going once? Anyone else going twice? I do want to mention the fact that starting next Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Apostle Vincent L. Smith and The Voice will move to the 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time hour, and you don't want to miss it. I know some of you said, well, that's kind of late when they come on at 10:30. Well, he's an hour and a half early now, so you really want to be on. In closing, let me say this. It's already been said that Jesus is the reason for the season, and as you progress into the time frame we call Christmas Day, remember the reason why. Jesus is that reason why. The gift that God gave to us that we may have a right to the tree of life is the person in the man, Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior now sits on the right hand of God interceding for us, and He's looking for you to have a happy, a prosperous, and a joyous Christmas Day. I know some say this is a secular and a man-made celebration, but I'm going to say this to you. Make good use of this celebration. Sit back, reflect, count your blessings, name them one by one. With the 870,000 plus that have died of COVID-19, God still has you here. of all those that are in hospitals and the hospitals across America, hundreds of thousands clinging to life by a single breath at any given point of time, their life can just expire. Yet here you are with life, with health, and with strength, the use and the activities, if not all of your limbs, most of your limbs. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. The fact that God has daily loaded you with benefits. You've got eyes to see, most of you, ears to hear, most of you, a voice to talk, most of you, legs to walk, most of you, arms that you can lift high in the air and exalt the God of your salvation. You truly are gifted in the fact that God wakes you up morning by morning. And should he wake you up Christmas morning, I hope that you would have enough sense to drop to your knees and tell the Lord thank you for another Christmas day that he allowed you to celebrate. And then while you're amongst family and friends, forget about the beef, squash the beef, forget about the struggles, forget about the past arguments and the bad taste that some of your loved ones left in your mouth. Remember, they are there with you today. You're not at a funeral. You didn't have to bury anybody. And for those that had to bury somebody and have to bury them in this season, our hearts go out to you. We sympathize with you, but we also want to rejoice with you in the celebration of life, because if that life went home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, they are in a far better place. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. We pray God's blessing upon you. On behalf of, I'm going to say Power to Stand, on behalf of the Pastor's Corner, I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr. with this wonderful panel and staff that makes up this great podcast. We say holiday greetings, season's blessings upon each and every one of you. Now we want you to do something very special. We want you to remember this. Carry this for the next 8 days, all right? You're going to see brand new in the year 2022. I don't know what that means for some of you, but you will see brand new in the year 2022. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you.
Mr. Elect.
Yes, sir.
Can you do a special prayer tonight? I received a call just before going on the air that my godson took his three children and left them with his mother, and he has left town. They don't know where he is, what he's doing. He keeps calling his mother to let her know he's all right, but something have struck at him, and he just picked up, left the children, left town. They don't know where he is, what he's doing, what's going on. But they do know for the last 2 or 3 months he's been talking about suicide. So I'm asking for prayer tonight for that young man. He's a very young man, late 20s, early 30s, somewhere in there. So we want to pray that God help him to come back to his senses and come on home. Give his children and fulfill the purpose God has on his life.
Bless God. Apostle Whitlow, would you be so kind as to lead us?
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you once again to thank you for being God. You told us to cast all our care upon you because you care for us. Father, I pray for the godson of your manservant. You know everything about him. You know what is going on in him. You know his name. You know his nature. You know his need. And right now, I pray that you cancel every assignment that has been assigned to him from the enemy that would cause him to think irregular thoughts. Oh, God, that would cause him to be incompetent at the moment. I pray that, Father, you would break whatever spell may have been sent upon him. Oh, God, whoever's working voodoo, witchcraft, and warlocks and wizards, I pray that it would be broken now in the name of Jesus, that he would come back to his right mind. Oh, God, that he would return to his home, get his children, and be the father to his children, and raise them, and to do the thing that you have called him to do in the name of Jesus. And I speak to every mental malady spirit, every sabotaging, suicidal spirit, now in the name of Jesus, and we evict you. We decree that you are fired from your assignment. You are no longer needed or necessary in his life, for he belongs to the Lord in the name of Jesus. So Satan, we command you to take your filthy hands off in the name of Jesus. We loose you from the premises of his mind, from the premises of his body, from the premises of his peripheral area in the name of Jesus. And Father, we bind him to your spirit. We bind him to your will. We bind him to your purpose. We bind him to our plan. We bind him to life eternal. We bind him to life abundantly in the name of Jesus, and decree and declare that he is the head and not the tail. He is above only and not beneath. He is more than a conqueror, for he is an overcomer. We decree it, God. We declare it, God. We demand it, God. It is in 3D, and we say, thank you for victory. We thank you that, oh God, even before this weekend, oh God, sets in good, that Father, things will turn around and we'll hear a praise report in the name of Jesus. And Father, while we're at it, we don't just pray for him, but anyone considering suicide, anyone considering, oh God, changing the status of their living condition, I thank you that you're interrupting it now by your power. And we give you glory, we give you dominion, majesty, and praise. Is God, and praise is thine now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Jimmy Kim, go ahead, hit that track. We will see you guys next Thursday. God bless.
Tonight, it was a whole